Hello and welcome to Creepypasta Myths. I'm your host Andrew, and today we're going to be learning about creepypasta and what it is. Basically the origin of creepypasta. So we're going to figure out, you're going to hear me moving around. It's a new podcast. I was in Pizza Time Podcast, so if anybody wants to check them out, you can. But my main focus for this podcast is to basically explain the origins of certain stories like Slenderman or Chewbacca, Bigfoot, just anything that could get an origin story. You want to know where things come from. You never want to hear a story and then go, wow, that's a great story. But with this podcast, we're going to learn the backstories of many things. But again, I'm your host, Andrew, and we're just going to deep dive into this. So our first topic, what is a creepypasta? Many people nowadays think it's urban legends or myths and stuff like that. But let's check out what, Wikipedia. This is what Wikipedia says. It says, creepypastas are horror-related legends or images that have been copied and pasted around the internet. These internet entries are often brief, user-generated, paranormal stories intended to scare readers. They include gruesome tales of murder, suicide, and otherworldly occurrences. According to Time magazine, the genre had its peak audience in 2010 when it was covered by the New York Times. In the mainstream media, creepypastas relating to fictitious Slenderman character came to public attention after the 2014 Slenderman stabbing with the young girl, in which a 12-year-old girl from Waukesha, Wisconsin, I hope I said that right, was stabbed by two of her friends. The perpetrators claimed they wanted to prove the Slenderman skeptics wrong. After the murder attempt, some creepypasta website administrators made statements reminding readers that of the line between fiction and reality. Other notable creepypasta stories include Jeff the Killer, that's a famous one, and Ted the Caver, which is very long and creepy. A podcast called Creepy does a really good job at doing the story. It says in May 2015, Machinima Incorporated announced plans for a live-action web series curated by Clive Barker titled Clive Barker's Creepypasta. Here's some contents of it. It says, examples of creepypasta, Slenderman, Jeff the Killer, Ted the Caver, Pen Pal, _9 Mother, 9 Horse, 9 Eyes, 9. Lost episodes are really like Squidward's suicide and weird things like that. Lost episodes are typically like stories that were not found and then eventually were recovered. Candle Cove, Suicide Mouse, .avi, Dead Bart, Squidward Suicide, there's one. Video Games, Ben Drowned, Lavender Town Syndrome, NES Godzilla, Creepypasta, Toons Truck 2, Sonic.exe, Pets Cop, and Polybius. Polybius was an arcade that supposedly made a lot of kids sick, and maybe that's something I could cover later on in another episode. So let's see the history of it. The exact origins of creepypastas are unknown. Early creepypastas were usually written anonymously and routinely reposted, making the history of the genre difficult to study. Jessica Roy, writing for Time, argued that creepypastas emerged in the 1990s when the text of chain emails were reposted on internet forums and Usenet groups. Aja Romano, writing for the Daily Dot, stated that Ted the Caver was arguably the earliest example of creepypasta. The story posted on Angel Fire in 2001 was written in the first person from the perspective of Ted as he and several friends explored an increasingly frightening cave system. And those were in time, so like you would hear a story for maybe like 10 minutes long and then they would make the rest later on. So it took a while until that whole story was put together and connected into one big story. Again, if you go to Creepy, they have like a 2-hour story and it's good. I think for the first 40 minutes, it kind of drags on too much. But I think the last hour is pretty intense. Many early creepypastas consisted of rituals and urban legends such as Polybius and Bunny Man. Darcy Dell, writing for Turbo News, argued that these early creepypastas had to be somewhat believable and realistic to be reposted. So not all made the cut. They have to be borderline either creepy or a little too realistic and creepy. Many of the earliest creepypastas were created on the -X-board of 4chan, which focused on the paranormal. Major dedicated creepypasta websites started to emerge in the late 2000s to early 2010s. Creepypasta.com was created in 2008, while the Creepypasta Wiki and the r/NoSleep, a Reddit forum, were both created in 2010. The websites created a permanent archive of creepypastas, which profoundly impacted the genre. Many authors started using creepypasta characters in their own stories, which resulted in the development of continuously using it for numerous works. The definition of creepypasta has expanded over time to include more horror stories written on the internet. Over time, authorship has become increasingly important. Many creepypastas are written by named authors rather than anonymous individuals because they want their money. Many of these authors attempt to archive notice through their creepypasta. The copying and pasting of creepypastas has become less common over time. Doing so is seen as intellectual theft by many members of the creepypasta community. So right now, I don't want to get copywritten or whatever. This is all coming straight from Wikipedia. I'll have my own thoughts on this. I just want to give you guys a general idea of like a somewhat of a focus. Examples of creepypastas, we already went through these. It was like Slenderman, Jeff the Killer, Ted the Caver, Pen Pal. I already read all those. And yeah, that's what basically Wikipedia has already to say. So right here in creepypasta.fandom.com, saying creepypastas are essentially internet horror stories passed around on forums and other sites to disturb and frighten readers. The name creepypasta comes from the word copypasta, an internet slang item for a block of text that gets copied and pasted over and over and over again from website to website. So basically, you remember those text messages that you would get as a kid when you had your new phone back in 2006? Well, it depends on how old you are. But you would get those death emails or death texts and be like, if you don't pass this on to 10 of your friends, you will see a spider tonight under your bed, or you'll find the zombie in your closet. It's basically, it's internet version of this. That's what creepypasta was. And in a way, those texts were basically inspired by creepypasta because it was the same thing. You would copy and paste all of these stories, and people would read them and they would copy and paste them again. So a lot of people, that's how they spread it around. Let's see, creepypastas are sometimes supplemented with pictures, audio, or video footage related to the story, typically with gory, distorted, or otherwise shocking content, like smile.jpg, or I think it's that, with the smile dog that basically is a husky smiling. And if you look at it for too long, you'll go mad. I think there's a video online on YouTube explaining that, but also showing the actual dog. Nobody, for some reason, can find the original photo. They've only recreated, and some people claim that there's one photo floating around, but I don't think that's real. Okay, let's see. While creepypastas today various greatly in length and quality, older ones tend to be very short and follow one of the following set of formulas. Let's see. The narrator remarks on a scary legend, news story, or event from their own past. Let's see. Rituals, a list of instructions for readers claiming that if they go to a certain place at a certain time and perform a specific action or actions, something remarkable or horrifying will happen. The lost episodes are basically the narrator tells the story of a never before seen episode or scene from a famous TV show. So if you ever seen like SpongeBob growing up, or hey, even even the Muppets or just any TV show, really, if you really think about it. As a kid, we really don't remember much TV. We remember seeing it, but we don't remember the episodes. It's kind of like the episode of SpongeBob when he's getting the secret Captain Patty formula. And the whole time, it's this guy narrating, and now the secret Krabby Patty secret formula. And then they send it out. But it's always one step behind where it's like they're about to say it and something happens and you can't hear the formula. Well, anyways, towards the end of that episode, they're like, dum, da-da-dum, dum-dum, dum-dum. They basically make you want to know what the formula is right when you're about to hit the ending. The show actually cuts to the credits or even ends and you don't hear the formula and they never tell you. And that leaves you wanting to know what the heck was the formula. But it's weird because as a kid, you're like, oh man, that's awesome. What if there was an episode that actually told you the formula? What if there's like a hidden or lost episode that actually tells you? It's cool to think and imagine that, because I think when your curiosity and your imagination explodes, that's something that you really want deep down. It's like, I've watched SpongeBob for the past 5 years, and they're always talking about this freaking secret formula. And in the end, they still don't show it to you. So a lot of people, they're either going to make up their own secret formula, or they're going to act like they found a hidden episode. And those are basically what lost episodes are. It's like director's cuts deep into the web that somebody leaked certain information and basically became a whistleblower. Snowden found this secret SpongeBob episode. So lost episodes are pretty cool. It just depends. So let's keep reading. It said, a TV show, typically a comedy or children's cartoon, like Bear in the Big Blue House, where the audio and video is heavily distorted. Sorry, my voice is kind of going. I decided to do this today, but I was screaming yesterday and the other day before, so my voice is kind of not the greatest. Sorry. And characters begin acting strangely or violently, killing themselves and or each other. And the style of creepypastas has fallen out of favor nowadays, as it is seen as cliche. So a lot of people have made too many Lost episodes, and it's kind of lost its niche. Let's see. Examples of notable creepypastas. Down below are some of the most noteworthy creepypastas archives, blah, blah, blah. Okay, suicidemouse.avi. That one's really weird, actually. Let's see. Smile Dog, that's the one I was talking about. Slender Man, it's always that one. Basically, I'm going to go through either way all the creepypastas, like at least the more major ones, and kind of give a good explanation on what it is. Well, I'm going to try my best. And I'm just going to keep looking the internet and trying to find the best creepypastas to talk about. But yeah, basically the first creepypasta ever made was, everybody keeps saying it's Ted the Caver. So if you ever get the chance to go to Creepy, I would go and listen to it. It's pretty good. So, but yeah, that creepypasta is something weird. Something you don't really want to think about, if I'm being honest. Creepypastas are made for people who love horror and love horror stories. I myself find horror pretty fun. It's as growing up, it's pretty cool. Like, I mean, it doesn't really faze me, but it's just like having that like weird kind of, like, I don't know how to explain it. I'm just gonna say weird vibes that you get from it. Or the creepy stories that you hear, and they're always so close to being real, but they're not. And I've never had anything, you know, paranormal or weird happen to me, but it would be cool to to have some stories from you guys. If you guys have any stories as well, just let me know and I can bring you guys on board, and we can do an episode of you explaining what happened to you if you had multiple occurrences with certain things. But no, creepypastas are here to stay. And as you can tell from the 90s, it started as copy paste, and now it's creepypasta. And that's pretty cool. It's cool to have something, or like a network of people where they all share and love the same thing. And that's scary stories. I mean, it's plain and simple. It's just scary stories. Some might be real, some might not be. Some show the creativity of many, many people, and it's really cool. It's really cool to see how imaginative people can be. And I might write some stories of myself. I think it'd be pretty cool. But that's basically what a creepypasta is. I mean, I don't know what else to say. They're super cool, and they're gonna keep being creepy. So, well, that's your brief origin story of what a creepypasta is, and I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. On my next episode, I'll be reading a story. So I'm gonna be trying to. So what I'll do is I'll read something, I'll try to explain it, and then the next episode I'll read a story of it. And from there, it'll be, my titles will say origin story of blah blah blah, and then the next episode would be just whatever the title is that I'm reading, that's what it's gonna say. And I think it'll be pretty cool. This one's not as scary episode, it's just more of entertaining and figuring out what a creepypasta is. But again, I hope you guys like it. I'm gonna try to do these maybe at least 2 episodes per month. Like, this is my first episode, but the other one, it's more of stories. So either I'm just gonna read one story, or I'm gonna make a compilation of all of, like, maybe 2 or 3 stories. So, but yeah, thank you guys for inviting me to your homes, into your ears, and spitting some Wikipedia knowledge and some creepypasta wiki knowledge in your ears. And if you don't trust me on what I read, just they're right there. I mean, I already told you guys. So, but thank you. Shout out to Pizza Time Podcast. Go hear Henry out. He's a good man, and he tries hard to make episodes. So hopefully I can have him on an episode. We're probably gonna do our next episode on It, the killer clown from the 1980s, or sorry, 1960s, and try to figure out the origin story of that as well. So check that one out, and look out for my next episode as well. But again, thanks for watching, or hearing, sorry. You guys have a good one. Hey, sorry, quick side note, I wanted to give a shout out to all my Patreon supporters. I have the list somewhere. Where's the list? Oh, that's right, I don't have any Patreon supporters. I'm poor. Okay, I'm sorry. This is a bad joke. Bye.